Isn't that amazing, the love of God
that we were singing about?
I mean, think about that. You know, while I was yet a sinner, God loved me. You know, He loved me with His cords of love that could not be broken and pulled. That's what He does to all of His children, every one of us. He loves us with an everlasting love that is continually pulling us unto Himself. Because He'd rather be with you than anybody else. Can you think about that? Let that sink into your life this morning. God wants to be with you. He wants to be with me. Hallelujah. There's been a lot of people who avoided me, but God don't do that to us. Amen? He calls us to His own. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. What a blessing. Glad to see some new faces. I haven't got to meet you yet. I'm glad you're here. Make yourself at home. I just speak a blessing over you. Amen. God said that you were a blessed group of people. Blessed to be a blessing. Think about that this morning. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you. What's on my heart is what Brother Corey done a wonderful job on Sunday school. It just goes right along with what he was talking about. I want you to open up your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. You know, we need to see and remind ourselves continually what the Bible says about us and what God has gave us, what He has put into us by Jesus Christ and by His Spirit. And we need to follow His Word and apply it to our life. Amen. This morning, you are in the place where Romans 5 and 8 says that you've been reconciled back to God. Amen. And that now Romans chapter 5 goes into great detail saying that you're at peace with God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, He took care of everything that would bring a division between us and God. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, all of a sudden that peace level has been put into us. And we need to learn how to speak peace in every situation. And that's what's on my heart this morning. I want you to, and I to recognize that we're called to follow the examples of Jesus and to become what He said we were. We're vessels of peace, and we have the ability to speak peace in situations and see everything change. Amen? All right. Luke chapter 10, verse number 1. Luke chapter 10, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and He sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither Him Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Go your ways. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Notice this, verse number 5. And in whatsoever house ye enter, first say. Mark it down. Say, first say. First say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. Verse number 5, though. And when whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Brother Corey, would you pray? Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much, Brother Corey. Hallelujah. You know, right now, you and I, we're living in turbulent times. We're living in a world where it's dangerous to even to wear a certain color or to wear a hat or a shirt that expresses an opinion. It's dangerous to have an opinion if your opinion doesn't agree with the area or the territory that you're in. I was looking at the latest studies that they had. You know, we've got 192, 193 countries in the world, depending on what time frame you're looking at. And out of those 192, 193 countries, only 11 countries are in a place where they're not in conflict, as you and I are in the house of the Lord this morning. Now, think about that. There is war and trouble. Jesus said that, you know, there shall be wars and rumors of wars. Amen? And so we're seeing that. We're seeing earthquakes. We're seeing all the signs of where we're at in history. And things as we know it is slowly winding down. And so in this troublesome times, you and I have got to see what Jesus has called us to do, and we've got to walk in it. We've got to be in a place and a position where we see the enemy at work and we follow his example. You and I, we are to speak peace. We're to change situations and circumstances by bringing Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to all of the troubles of the world, because we're not going to stop the trouble in the world, but we can bring people out of the world and bring them into the fold. We can bring them into the truth of Jesus Christ. We can bring them into a place where the wrath of God can be appeased by the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen? That's what Jesus did. He was the perfect Lamb of God. And so this morning, I want us to just to be stirred and I want us to be built up. Now, notice what he said there once again in verse number 5. After Jesus, he makes this statement. He says, wherever you go, in other words, whatever you go, wherever house you're going to, he said, I want you to see, first of all, that you've been appointed. You are appointed. When you got saved, when you got born again, this number 70 here is assisting the 12. The 12 went to the 12 tribes. The 70 went to the 70 nations of the world at this time. And that's who you and I are. We're a part of those who would be bring the Gentiles in, who would bring in those whom God would save and deliver from a lost and dying world, from the stronghold of sin. And so you've been appointed this morning. Appointed means God's put a label on you. You've got a label on you. That label is that Jesus, Yeshua Messiah, Jesus, God's Savior, has put an anointing on you. He has labeled you His own. And with that anointing, you have the ability to say what God says you can say and change circumstances. So we're to go in our own way. You have been called to follow the leadership of the Lord. You've been called to know that you've been made righteous because of Jesus. And the Bible says the righteous man, that's you and I, man, woman, boy, girl, no gender intended. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. You have a way to go in every day of your life, and that way is to go in peace. And so I want you to see that Jesus says the formula for us to win the lost, the formula to bring in a harvest for the Lord, bring in the harvest for the one who died for us, is to go there and to minister and to bring peace. People are in turmoil. They're looking for an answer. They're looking for peace of mind. They're looking for comfort. They can never find it outside of the realm of Jesus Christ. But you and I, we have an appointment with destiny. We have an ability to speak with a tongue, truth, with words of the glorious sonship of Jesus Christ. Words that are anointed that cannot be diffused. Words that cannot be turned down. They're seed of truth that will bring hope to people. Amen? And so I want us to put this into practice. I want us to see what he said to us, and I want us to apply it in a way that is very real. Because every one of you this morning, you've got situations that's contrary to this Word of God. You've got situations in your own life, in your own family's life, that look like the storm is bigger than the peace speaker, but it's not. Amen? Nobody is bigger than Jesus. And so the devil is a bully, and he will infringe upon you. He will come against you. He is that thief that come to steal, kill, and destroy. But you've got a Savior this morning, Jesus the Christ, who wants to bring abundant life to you. He wants to bring your life in a perfect working order. And if you and I will be about His business, all of a sudden the things of our own life, they will come together, and we won't even realize exactly how He done it. He just done it because we sought Him first. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And everything else that you and I are looking to or needing, desiring, having a longing for, He said, I'll add them to you. See, the right things of God is for you to be blessed. The right things of God is for you to have health. The right things of God is for you to have truth that will cause you to be the head and not the tail, that will cause you to walk above and not beneath. Amen? All of those things is in the covenant of God. But here this morning, you and I have got to see that we have been appointed. And we have an anointing in that appointment. And that anointing is to be able to speak. Speak situations and circumstances. So you've got to know who saved you, who blood bought you, who has appointed you to do the things of God. Amen? And when you know Him, when you see Him, when you receive Him, all of everything else comes in the right perspective. Amen? So let's go through the Word of God and let's look at Jesus just a little bit. John chapter 14, one of my, I guess probably my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. But I want you to look down where Jesus makes this truth so powerfully in verse number 26. He says in verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I said unto you." Now, when you have the assurance that Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit when he went away, then it brings what God wants to bring through you all around you and all about you, who you are. You become not just in the place of needing peace, you become a provider of peace because you met the one who can provide it. Look at verse 27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." Now here's the peace of God. The peace of God is that I deserved hell. I deserved the wrath of God. But Jesus come and he took that for me. That's the peace that God has left with me through his son Jesus, that God has not, Paul wrote to the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that God wants me and you to obtain salvation, not the wrath of God. And so the way we obtain salvation is we just accept Jesus. And so this is the peace of God. This is when I see that God loves me with an everlasting love, it brings a peace that Paul wrote about in Philippians chapter 4, a peace of God that passeth all understanding. So wherever you're at this morning, whatever you're dealing with, whatever's going on in your life, this morning you can be in a place and a position because of Jesus to receive his peace if you'll just follow that leadership of the Holy Spirit that Jesus said would lead us into the place of truth. And that place of truth is that, yes, in this world you're going to have tribulation, right? John 16:33, but Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." This same Jesus that wants you to be a peace speaker, the one that has appointed you, not unto wrath, but unto salvation. He wants you to see and understand that he's overcome all the things of this world. And so this morning he said, "I've got a peace that I want to leave with you." That peace is the constant abiding presence of the Spirit of God to bring truth to you. But notice what he says. He said, "I've got a peace to leave with you," but he said, "My peace I give unto you." Amen. Glory. Jesus said, "My peace." In other words, Jesus said, "I'm going to take a part of who I am and I'm giving it to you." Yeah. Oh, glory. So we need to go back and we need to see what Isaiah said about Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9 and 6, notice what the Word of God says. He's prophesying about Jesus. Isaiah 9 and 6, he says, "For unto us a child is born." Now think about this. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he become Emmanuel, God with us, because he loved you so much, he wanted to be that sacrifice to pull you out of sin and out of this world. The Son of God was born for me this morning. Amen? You've got to claim Him. I've got to claim Him that Jesus was born for me. And when I see that and I understand that and I see that He was born sinless and He walked and He lived sinless and He was tempted in all points yet sinless, that brings the peace to me because God said about Jesus, look, He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." We don't have time to look at all these, but look at the last one, the Prince of Peace. The origin of peace, Jesus Christ, was given for you, for me. So this morning, the reason why I can go into any situation and I can first say peace is because my provider is Jesus. Your provider is Jesus. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to drum up some kind of feeling. You're going to be battling feelings. Because our feelings are talking to us 180 degrees opposite of what this word says. Amen? This morning, the storms that you're facing are real. We're not belittling the storm. We're elevating the one who can speak peace to the storm. Amen? And so I don't know what all you're dealing with, but He does. And so He wants to call us and I to refocus this morning. And He wants us to see the first thing out of our mouth needs to be peace. Peace. See, if the devil can get me on his territory where I say what I'm feeling, what I say what I'm fearing, then I'm going to be failing. But if I'll speak by faith, I'll never fail. You'll never fail this morning. You'll walk above it. You'll walk in the place of victory. Now, notice these traits here. He said there was a child, one, a son, two, wonderful, three, counselor, four, mighty God, five, everlasting Father, six, and the Prince of Peace, seven. If we can have completeness when we see Jesus in the fullness of who He is. He had to be born of a babe, sinless, to grow up and to complete everything He had to do for you and I to walk in complete and total victory. But He did it. And because you and I, when we get born again, we're become as a little babe, a little child, we grow up. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, when I hear the truth, it causes me to grow up under the head unto Jesus. And when I grow up under the head unto Jesus, all of a sudden I recognize that by the Spirit of God, I can first say peace. Peace. I've got to see that I have a source. The world doesn't know it. They don't understand it. They don't know how you and I, in the midst when the floodwaters seems to be coming over our head, when there is more month than money, when there's more bad report than there's good report, all of these things, they don't understand how you and I can have peace. We have peace because we know the source of peace. Amen? That's Jesus. And so this morning, I want you to see and understand that if He abides in you, and He does, if you have believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, He said He would be with you until the end of the world. Amen? Till you take your last breath, He'll take you across on the other side. That's your assurance. And so the Prince of Peace is inside of you. So in the midst of the storm, instead of talking the storm and talking how damaging, how destructive, how big, and wondering all the things that the world wonders about, you first say, peace. Now there's some things that's happening in people's lives this morning that the devil is wanting you to say other things. There's families I've been talking to. There's families I know that you've been talking to. And the devil is trying to bring division. He's trying to break up the home. And we've got to speak peace. We don't say what the devil says. The devil says, hey, this will never be right. You can never put this back together the way it was supposed to be. You can never have what you once had. No, you can have something greater. Because when Jesus is in the midst of it, it's greater. It's better, it's bigger, it's stronger, it's in accordance and in function, in providence of Jesus, of the Lord. And if it is, everything else works this morning. So don't say what the devil says about it. Don't say, well, I know so-and-so and this happened to them. Well, I'm so sorry that that happened to them. But that does not have to happen to you this morning. Amen? Just because this has been in my family tree, I'm going to let it stop in the name of Jesus. Amen? Jesus redeemed me and you, Galatians 3:13, from the curse. That curse doesn't have to keep operating in our life if we'll see that unto us is given the babe Jesus who grew up to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All of these are steps, though. See, He went through all these steps this morning. Don't be satisfied with where you're at, and don't think that it's not going to get better. Because you're becoming more and more sanctified as you hear the Word of God, as you yield to the Word of God, as the Spirit of God ministers in your life. And it's just going to get better and better and better in your own life. And it may get worse in the world, but you're going to have peace in it. Amen? All right. So Jesus said, the first thing I want you to do, I want you to say peace. And notice, he said if the Son was there, then peace would rest on that situation. Now, when you read that verse of Scripture, you think, now, wait a minute. I know there's a lot of situations where Jesus doesn't seem to be in that situation. I don't think they're serving God. I don't think they're wanting to serve God. But what you and I have got to see that what he's saying is he's talking about a harvest. And Jesus is in the midst of his harvest. And so you may not see Jesus in the way that you want to see in their life or in that situation, but Jesus is there. And so your confidence is, Lord, there's drugs here. There's alcohol here. There's anger here. There's all sorts of curses working here. And I don't know what to do. What do? You say, Lord, I commit this situation. I've got authority in this situation. I've got influence in this situation by your grace. And so because of that, I'm carrying Jesus right in the midst of this. I'm going to get involved in this situation. I'm going to bring him there, and I know that he's going to be there because he's then ordered my steps. I wouldn't have this unction. I wouldn't have this desire. And so he's there ahead of me, and I'm going to speak the peace, and he's going to meet the peace. And when he meets what I have spoken, guess what? Things start happening. Things start changing. We start charging the atmosphere in a positive manner, and we start tearing down the stronghold of the devil. The devil operates in torment. He operates in a picture of fear. He wants to make people believe and understand that fear that they're seeing, that they're feeling, it's going to overwhelm them or going to overtake them. We can't let that happen. First thing, peace. Peace. Peace in this situation. Amen. We've got to learn how to say it. And if we'll do it, it'll change everything. Amen. Now, let's go back to this. I want to read this again. John 14:27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, you and I are going to always have an opportunity to be troubled. Come on, it's troubling when we are in real life. Come on, there's real problems in real life. There's real struggles. But here, Jesus, he gives this simple word of instruction. He just gave me a command. He said, let not my heart be troubled. Now, he never tells me to do something that he doesn't empower me the ability to do it. So he says, let not my heart be troubled. What brings trouble to my heart when I'm afraid? Let not your heart be troubled, neither be you afraid. See, fear is the opposite of faith. Faith takes me to God. Faith takes me to the promises of God. Faith takes me to the provision of God. But fear cuts off what God would want to do in my life. And so this morning I've got to say, wait a minute. I don't know how you're going to do this, God. I don't know how you're going to show yourself strong in this area. But I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to say peace in this situation. First thing first, I'm not going to say what I'm feeling. I'm not going to say what happened before. I'm not going to say what somebody told me would happen. I'm going to say peace. See, peace is a formula that shows that in the midst of all the pressure on the flesh, that inside your heart, you simply take God at His Word. And so when you take God at His Word, the Bible says that when you diligently seek Him by faith, He's a rewarder, right? Hebrews 11 says He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So you're going to be rewarded in a way that makes the devil so mad. Because see, he can't stop a person, a woman, a man, a boy, a girl of faith. Faith causes you to walk with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. We're going to walk with God. We're going to be taken one of these days. Amen? But in the meantime, we're wanting to cause other people to walk with the Lord. How can they walk with Him if you and I don't go where they're at? They're looking for somebody to help them. They're looking for somebody to speak a word to them that will cause them to have a revelation that there's something different. Think about when you first got saved. It was so foreign to us, to the reality that there was a God in heaven who loved us, that there was a Jesus who was willing to take our sins, our mistakes, and to wash them in His own blood. That was so foreign to us, that there was a God who wanted to meet us where we were at and just help us walk with Him. That was so foreign. Can you imagine a world today if they could just experience the truth and the intimacy that you're experiencing? They can, because you've been appointed. You've been appointed. You have an ability. You have an opportunity. You have a function to do what God would have you to do. So this morning, let's talk about the trouble. Let's talk about the situation, because we think that after we get saved, after we believe in the heart and confess with the mouth, everything's going to be great. Everything's great with you and God, but there's going to be problems. Come on, we're living in a fallen world. There is a devil out there. There is an old carnal nature that still wants to rise up. There's differences of opinion. There's different stages of growth. And so with the grace that God saved you with, you need to give it to your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your children, your co-worker, your neighbor. And the only way that you and I can do that is we're in the place where we're continually saying, wait a minute, Jesus said He left peace with me, but then He gave me a piece of Himself. That's there. That's operating in me. That's been appointed to me, but I've got to learn how to say it. I've got to learn how to speak it. I've got to learn how to put it into practice. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Paul's having a problem in the church, and he deals with it in a very powerful way. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. In other words, be stationary. Don't let anything move you. Remember, you have been appointed. So don't let anything move you. This is your spot. No matter what the devil says, no matter what the flesh says, you've got a spot. Amen? Your name is written down in glory. Your name is written down in the blood of Jesus. And it's your spot. And nobody can make you give it up. I can choose to do it, amen, but I got to stand fast. He says, look, verse number 2. We know that there's a problem by him saying that, because look what he says. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now here, these are two workers in the body of Christ, two ladies, and that were fundamental in the work with Paul, and he commends them. You can see the work through Scripture. Now, here they are, all of a sudden, they're living their life, and something has happened, and it's happened to a point where he says, I want you to stand fast in the Lord. See, the way that you and I get in trouble is when we move out of our place. When we move out of where God is directing us, where He's ordering us. See, it doesn't matter if you've been saved for 5 minutes or you've been saved for 50 years. You've got a place, and that place is continually evolving. It's continually growing and expanding, because in your revelation of who Jesus is and what He's doing in your life, your territory, your sphere of influence, your understanding, the anointing of God increases. And so here these ladies are, they're in a situation where something's happened that is causing them to contemplate moving out of their place. See, every time I can't speak for you, but I can only speak for me. Every time in my own life where the devil was able to get the upper hand on me, it was when I got out of my place. Now I'm not saying you're not going to have trouble. You can be in the perfect will of God and have trouble. We know that. We understand that. But also, we can be like Job. Our worst fear can come upon us if we get in fear instead of in faith. Amen? And so here they are. And so Paul says, he says, I want you to be in the place of the same mind in the Lord. Now, what does that mean to you and I this morning? The mind of the Lord is that he's always thinking about you, but he's also thinking about those around you. As he thinks about you, his heart smiles and his heart warms, but then he thinks about what he's put in you to reach the person next to you. He sees you, remember, as that appointed harvest goer, that one who can first speak peace. And so you'll never be able to speak what you don't know that you possess. And so you've got the mind of Christ. Paul said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Humility, Philippians chapter 2, humility keeps you and I in the place of being able to receive the fullness and the blessing of God. Give the fullness and the blessing of God. Amen? But you've got to see that. You've got to believe that. You've got to see that when God counted it and stamped it right, you're right. And I've got that mind. And so there may be something come up that would try to bring a division, but I'm going to speak peace over it. Amen? I'm going to hold on to what God has for me. Notice what he says. Verse number 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, to help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement, also with my other fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. Now, the way we can understand this, the first lady here, her name means traveling, and the second lady means accident. So I want you to see this. This is very interesting as the Word of God is put together like this. As you and I are traveling in the Lord, as we're walking, as we're going into the harvest field, there's liable to be an accident. There's liable to be something that would change your opinion, that would change your understanding, that would bring a conflict in your life. But he said, I want you to be yoked with Clement. Clement, his name means mercy to the fullest extent. See, when we're yoked with Jesus, Jesus said that we could yoke with him and we could walk with him, right? Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30, and he would teach us. And so when you're yoked with mercy, all of a sudden, you're able to speak peaceful words. You're able to bring peace to a situation where it looks like it has no hope. This morning, what I'm urging you, all the things that look like they're divided in your life, look to who you're yoked with. Look to what has been gave to you. If you've been given the ability to be yoked with Jesus, who is the Son of God, and be taught by the Spirit of God and be led into all truth. John 16, 13, howbeit when he is come, the Spirit of truth, he shall what? He shall lead you into all truth. See, they needed truth in this situation, and Paul penned a letter to give it to them. And that same truth needs to be brought into our lives this morning, where there's an accident in life, where things didn't work out like they should as you're going on this journey of heading to eternal life. Know that commit mercy will be there. It'll be there for you if you will what? If you'll be in place where you say, now wait a minute, the first thing out of my mouth is going to be peace. Peace. Jesus has gave it to me, and he's imparted me the ability to go into the harvest and to bring peace. Do you recognize the people that you see in everyday life? There is, you know, as I walk and as you walk, we look on their face, there's sadness. Most people don't even look up. They're walking and they're looking down. Right the opposite of what Jesus said. Jesus said, look up, because your redemption, our redemption draw. They need to know about the Redeemer where they can look up. But see, they're in a place where they're, as they travel through life, accidents has happened, hurts has happened, divisions has happened. But you and I have been authorized to impart to them the ability to see how to change things. So this morning, wherever you're dealing with, wherever you're at in your walk of life, I want you and I to be in the place and the position where we say, Lord, I want to bring this to you, and I want to come to you, and I want you to inspire me by the Spirit of God to give me a word that will bring peace in this situation. Whatever the situation, it doesn't matter What may seem dramatic to you may not seem dramatic to somebody else. What seems dramatic to me may not seem... But guess what? God is a God that is mindful of where you're at and what you're feeling. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about the level or the rating of it. God is concerned. He's mindful. The Bible says that Jesus is your high priest that's touched by your feeling. That means He's mindful. So what you need to do this morning, what I need to do this morning, we need to take the tribulation that is in our life, that is in the situation, and we need to say, Lord, I want to go into the harvest. In the harvest field is the work of Jesus. And I want to take your work and I want to take it by my hand and I want to have it in my heart, but I want to be inspired by your Spirit to speak peace first to it. So we can never help somebody else until we first help ourselves. And so what Jesus wants to do this morning, He wants to draw us to a place of an altar where we can allow Him to show us how to change our situation, how to change our circumstance. This morning, if you don't like where you're at, if you don't like what's happening in your life, Jesus is the Word. He's the Word made flesh. He's the Word that the Spirit of God will reveal to you and I that you can speak and it'll change. Amen. You can see things change when you learn to say, when I learn to say what God says. See, so many times we're not willing to let go of things. As Paul talked to these two ladies and as he brought them back to perspective, think about if that was the last thing that was said about these two ladies, that there was division in their life. Do you think that they would want to change their epitaph? Of course they would. This morning I need to see that every situation in my life is writing the last thing that I will say or appear to somebody. I want to be the comment, don't you? I want to be the mercy. I want to be the one who can speak the thing that will bring oneness of mind this morning. And the oneness of mind comes when you and I say, no devil, peace. In the name of Jesus, you be still. You be quiet. I will have peace in my marriage. I will have peace in my family. I will have peace with my children. I will have peace with my... The Bible, Paul said, for us to live peaceably where it was in our ability with all men. That means that in situations where it's out of your control, you can be at peace whether they choose to be at peace or not. Now, I don't know why we're going this direction. I don't know, but I do know that if you and I will take heart and be strong in the Lord, that we can see some things change this morning. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know what you're dealing with. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning that God wants you to see that in the midst of doing what He'd have you to do, you can speak peace and it'll change your life and it'll change somebody else's life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy. I thank You for this group of people. I thank You that You have brought them here this morning. And I thank You that You're in our midst. I ask You right now, Lord, that every situation that looks turned upside down, every situation that looks in a place of turmoil, give us the boldness, the ability to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that you, and you alone can exalt us in that situation. Help us to come to You and to see that if we'll get our mind off the turmoil and on the Prince, on the peace, on the solution, that all of a sudden we can save the creative thing that will change the situation. Lord, let, by the Spirit of God, let us hear what we need to hear and let us come to this altar and let us see things change in the Spirit because we speak what we hear in our heart. I ask You, Father, in Jesus' name, would You come this morning make yourself an altar and say, Lord, I want to first say in every situation, because I believe that you cannot lie. I believe that you are the Prince of Peace, that you are my source, you are my provider, and that I can say under inspiration, I can say under unction, and it'll change situations. Would you come this morning? The Lord wants to help you in every way. He wants to help me in every way. But we've got to be humble enough to respond to Him. Amen? Would you come and give everything you've got to Jesus? Hallelujah.
Your strength is found me.